Hello everyone and welcome to The Entrepreneur's Journey. Thank you for tuning in again this week. It's a pleasure and privilege to have you join us each and every week as we talk about an entrepreneur's journey to success. You may be wondering what the show's all about, and if you're tuning in for the first time, the show's all about uncovering the hero's journey of people within their business and their life. People that want to do something different. People who want to make a difference in life. And we've got some incredible entrepreneurs on this show. Today we have Natasha Britton, who is a good friend. And she's also a healer and a mindfulness trainer. But I won't tell you any more about that just at the moment, because she's going to be talking to you about that throughout the show itself. The show today is entitled Healing Your Life with Mindfulness. So welcome, Natasha. Thank you again for joining me on the show. Tell us a bit more about yourself before we get into your journey.
Okay. So I have always been a bit of a fly-by-the-seat-of-my-pants person, go through life 100 miles an hour, lived in all sorts of different places around the world, worked in all sorts of different jobs, and was married for 20 years, went through a really great, great divorce, if they can happen. And always knew I was a healer, always had hot hands as a child and older. And I realized as well about 10 years ago that we all have mindfulness inside us, and it's inherent within all of us. And it has kept me good through all the different crazy stuff, world recessions, companies going down, all sorts of crazy stuff going on.
Excellent. So what is it that you do today then? If I was to ask you what you do today for your, for day-to-day life.
Day-to-day life. Okay. Well, get my children out, try and make them lunches that they like, then kind of put some effort into social media, be a client, one-to-one mindfulness client. I did a presentation the other day for a big world electronics and communications company, write blogs for my divorce blog, and I just keep balls mindfully in there.
Yep. Excellent. So let's jump into your story now then. Your story, I've had the privilege to hear a bit of your story. We've gone through your story to some extent, but today it's going to be great to actually dive into it a bit further. So at the start of every story, at the start of every journey, there's a place where we're somewhat in a place of disparity and discomfort with the world, and we want to make a difference, make a change. Was there a pain point in your life that caused you to want to do something different, something new, or was there a calling within you that said that I want to make a difference in my life now?
I guess kind of the healing thing, I always used to spend time with friends and family, and they just go, oh, put your hands on me, do this and do that, and I just go ahead and do it. And so I always kind of knew it, but you know, for me, all this stuff comes with like a healthy dose of self-belief and sense of sort of self-compassion and kindness to yourself, that you know, you're worthy of, you know, believing in what you do, knowing it makes a difference to people, and it helps people. And I guess where I kind of really found the confidence to do it was my dear ex-husband, who around 1 month, I think it was a little, just over a year, 2 years ago, and said to me, I don't know if I've got rent to pay for next month. And we lost kind of pretty much everything in the world recession. So we were in a rented house and kids and I were there, and we would all try and make it work. And I just thought, what do I know that I can help people with, which would be really cathartic for me? And I went on this amazing journey of sitting down and just creating this blog and writing my heart out about sort of divorcing with kindness, and how just being respectful of the father of your children, your partner, no matter where you've been through. I'll just start writing this blog.
Yeah.
And it sort of kind of gained traction and mediation as well. And it was kind of integrating mindfulness into the whole thing. Like I'd just kind of do some breathing exercises. I'd park my ego at the door before I went into the mediation session. And I just kind of just wrote it, and I just wanted to help people through my experience and send a whole load of kind of good, positive energy through the blog as well. And I get readers all over the world and in trouble spots as well, which is quite interesting. So,
was there something that triggered you to look into mindfulness, or was there a time where you obviously knew you had these healing gifts and the healing arts, but was there a time which you were disconnected from that within you and you reconnected with it? Or
I think it's quite important for people to have a belief in something that helps them. And I remember that, you know, the kind of whole money thing got bigger and bigger and bigger. I remember thinking, no, if you're going to look after your kids, you need to be just in a really good place. And there are kind of moments where there was one particular day, and I kind of wrote a blog about it, my afternoon and lying on the downstairs loo floor, just crying my eyes out, just going, what is going on, what is going on? And then kind of going, okay, you're just going to take a deep breath. You're going to believe in what you believe in. You know, you're a good person, you have good intent, and just trust in the universe, it'll be okay, you'll be alright. Yeah. And even in those moments of fear when we're kind of, you know, and the mind's going crazy and the, you know, the monkey mind, the chimps are all out beating the rails of the cage going, oh my god, listen, mess with your mind a bit more, you just kind of got to go, like, just, it will be okay. And I think I came across John Kabat-Zinn's one of his lovely tomes, and I just started reading it.
Yeah.
And I kind of went, oh my god, I totally get this. It was just like reading about something that I already knew, and I just thought I want to look into this more. And the more I read about it, the more actually I kind of was living it. Just in a very natural way.
So who would you say was someone that gave you that inspiration and that drive to actually go from that place of pain and unhappiness in your life to actually seeking this happiness within you and this mindfulness?
It was myself.
Okay.
Because I just started believing in myself. I trusted myself. I started listening to my own intuition.
Yeah.
You know, we all have those moments where we just kind of go, oh my god, you know, why did I listen to that little bell? Thanks, Art. and you know, and you just, the more you kind of tune in and just meditating, and I just knew instinctively that I had to just breathe, just being kind, just calm the mind, just not disconnect, but just take a step back and just see all the potential chaos that could happen that we all as humans have in our lives, and whether, you know, how you're going to deal with it. And actually, when you have that healthy dose of intuition looking after yourself, you just kind of go, I get it.
So your intuition was your guide, your connection with yourself was your guide, and meditation and mindfulness work was giving you that direction and support, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of, you know, Art says trust in yourself. Absolutely. But we live in, you know, a world where everything is on the negative bias. So we don't trust ourselves. And when I teach mindfulness, I teach it about kind of really self-empowering people to be, just believe and just, you know, and it's okay to trust yourself, you know. Who better to look after yourself than your own self?
It's interesting that you say that, because often our mentors on our journey, we do have the external mentors that give us that support and that guidance. Yeah. But the most important guidance that we can have is within ourselves, because we need to trust ourselves in order to take that step anyway. All the external influences can only take us so far, you know.
Yeah, totally. And I kind of guess for me, I had lots of lovely people helping me. I had like Reiki healers. I had, I would occasionally kind of go, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm going to go and have a reading. But ultimately, you still got to come back and wake up with yourself and look yourself in the mirror and go, okay, so it's all very helpful. But ultimately, you have to make the decision.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's hard, you know, it's hard. There are many, many people around the world who actually don't even like themselves.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
And I just really feel like kind of giving people that encouragement and life skills and practices, and especially through mindfulness as well, like in my big dose of Reiki while we're doing it there, you know, but that is, here.
So if I was to ask you then, obviously along your journey you had your inner guide, help you pass some of the fears in your life, face up to some of the challenges. But what were some of the challenges that you faced along your journey? What were some of the obstacles that you came across, and how did you learn throughout the journey, and what was your biggest learnings as you move forward?
I think I started just believing that people were really, really good at heart. People are just lovely, and that people are there for you to support you. And I guess when we start talking about healing, you know, we live in a world where there are some, you know, big powers that be that, you know, there's still that sort of, you know, whatever word is, that there's still that sort of, I don't know, it's not a battle because then somebody loses, but there's still that sort of, what's the word? Everybody's still trying to work out complementary therapies with, you know, traditional medicine, but, you know, in science. And it does work. And I work in a cancer unit in the UK where I'm a Reiki therapist as well for one morning a week. And I just go and, I go and volunteer, and it works really well in tandem, and you know, everybody works together as a whole. And I guess, you know, when you start saying I'm a healer, people kind of go, oh, what's that? You get a little bit nervous. That was quite big for me as well, because I'd always been corporate. I've worked for all sorts of companies who, I don't know about Mars, but you know, they had an end goal that probably wasn't, you know, as kind as it could be. And I don't know, I just think I'm very shocked.
Okay. So mindfulness is a practice that we can use each and every day in order to get ourselves present in some respects, and give ourselves the guidance and intuition. If I was to ask you how you bring healing into play as well as mindfulness, how do you bring those two together, would you say?
I think when we start having a little look at everything we pack away in ourselves as humans, where it's kind of emotional events or kind of, you know, and life experiences, we're really, really good at kind of packing them away. And when I talk to cancer patients about this, they go, yeah, they all go, yeah, I get that. And they all know where they pack their stuff away. And it's just extraordinary, this kind of, when people just start talking, it's just a simple communication. It's just like one person in a group will turn around and say, do you know what, I felt this and this came up for me. And somebody just looks at them and goes, oh my God, I had that as well. And in that moment, that really small moment, two human beings have shared something really big about their lives, and they've been brave and trusting. And that for me is like this little layer that has gone, you know, or it's kind of just been opened up and, you know, in a really held environment, you know, in a good positive environment, and, you know, you've just, that's healing. Healing doesn't have to be hands-on, it's just about people talking.
So would you say that they're like group mindfulness sessions in some respects where people can self-reflect afterwards?
Yeah, it's that inquiry process, which is really good. And as a teacher, you kind of, you develop a way so people want to talk and they want to share, they can. And actually, you know, as I said, you know, invariably, the relief on people's faces when they realize they're not the only ones feeling like this about particular meditation or, you know, or frustrations they're feeling from one day, you know, to, you know, or maybe for a month, feeling frustrated about, you know, meditating and falling asleep in the body scan. And then it's start going, it's okay. It's all right. It's human. You're just doing the best you can and don't miss yourself.
If I was to ask you what were some of the biggest shifts you see often within clients, maybe people at the cancer centre that you've worked with, what would you say that was for people? If you were to pin something down, maybe.
As Art said, trusting themselves. They just that sort of self belief that they are worthy of being listened to themselves. And you know, the cancer patients particularly, they go, yeah, God. And the thing is, so many of us humans, we kind of know what we've got to do.
Yeah.
You know, we listen to our intuition. I mean, we kind of know the stuff we've got to do. But it's kind of getting around to it, being brave about it, being supported.
Yeah. Like acting upon our intuition, acting upon our guidance, and allowing that, obviously, fear plays a part in that in some respects, but it's allowing that to follow through in a natural way. You know, and mindfulness allows us to connect with that, doesn't it? You see?
Yeah. I think, art, feel worthy definition, deserving effort, attention or respect. Yeah. So, that's kind of, yeah. No, I agree with you.
So was there, I mean, your divorce, you say, was a big thing for you in terms of, like the shifts and the happiness that you created from that.
Yeah.
What was, you say, your biggest learnings from that were, because I imagine you learned a lot through that process and you pass it on to others as well today.
Yeah. So I guess with that, it's kind of an ego thing, and it's like, you know, if I just park it, it'll be okay. And I kind of guess for me, one of the drivers for just, and my ex as well, is just that we didn't want divorce to define the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't want to be embittered. We didn't want to pack that stuff away. You know, we had two children between us. And you know what? We just fell out of love, you know, and yeah. I guess we, yeah, I don't know, it was, you just kind of want to be a good person, you know, and just go, okay, so it didn't work, so it doesn't have to continue not to work, because, you know, and very sadly so, you hear so many, you know, so many stories where, you know, people are just, they're living angry lives with somebody for a really long time after they're actually not even together, and
yeah.
That's just really sad. And
yeah.
You know, the anger that, you know, is...
Was there a point in your life where you had a shift? You started to feel this happiness, you started to feel fulfilled within yourself, and you started to create this self-love that you may have felt that you didn't have before. Was there a moment in your life when that happened for you?
There was one really big moment where I ended up in hospital, my kidneys were about to go, and I actually kind of just, I was so ill, and I had this really, don't know what it was, to this day they didn't really know what it was. I basically just had this enormously high fever, it was like 106, I was burning up, there was just no way that I was going to cool down. Like, I feel this heat rising up through the whole of my body, and I just realised that unless I could just let it was about letting it go, actually, letting it go, if it got beyond my ears and it would have kind of gone into my brain, I would be dead. And at one moment, I did actually kind of have this lovely white light and tunnel above me.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of like, and also I wasn't ready to go, just abandoned went more stuff, but that was, it wasn't scary, it was just weird. I could just feel this burning heat just coming out my body, and I just kind of went, just let it go. And that was probably a moment where I kind of really understood.
Fantastic. I imagine that was obviously very scary at the time, and the process of letting go, that was either I let go or that's it, really. So.
Yeah, and I guess everybody, well, a lot of people, many people maybe have these moments where, you know, it's a real decision whether it's going to be with a member of your family or something happens to you, and you just have these sort of moments of clarity where you just, I think you just reevaluate your life. And so many of the cancer patients I speak to, I talked about mindfulness as well, they just, it's like opening up, they're just understanding exactly how incredible their lives are and how we can all make small changes.
So you would say that moment brought you that peace, brought you that tranquility, although it was very obviously difficult at that time. But
yeah, I don't think it brought me peace and tranquility, but it did show me what I really believe in. So the fact that you could, you know, you can kind of die and then come back and it's not scary.
Yeah.
I didn't die, but I was kind of, you know.
Fantastic. Well, I will have to say, I wasn't expecting this conversation today. It's really such a, you know, it really means a lot for you to share this, you know, so thanks very much for sharing this, because it's a big thing.
How people can help.
Yeah. So going through this journey of understanding mindfulness, learning about your healing processes and your healing powers within you, how would you describe yourself today?
As a person or in terms of...
As a person going through this journey and coming out the other end and feeling, you know...
Incredible, enormous gratitude. I just feel... so lucky that I've had this opportunity, obviously, to talk to you. And like every day, it's what I love. And I was having a conversation at a company the other day, and they spent some time in the States. And I don't know, Art and anybody else, if they're over there, is they were talking about serendipity.
Yeah.
You know, I love my life because actually, you never know what's going to happen every day.
Yeah.
And I just feel incredibly fortunate. I feel I have gratitude, and I feel like serendipity is all around us, and I just feel really open to that. And because that happens, because I feel that, stuff happens.
Excellent.
And I just love that. I love that. Because good stuff happens.
Definitely, no. I completely agree. How would you describe your work now, then? Now going through your journey, you know, your mindfulness work, your healing work, how's that changed for you, and why do you give back to the world with what you do?
Because it makes me happy. It makes me really happy to be part of something extraordinary. And just kind of, it just feels to me that there are so many people kind of opening up and discovering something more about themselves, discovering something bigger. And people are just more open. They want to be helped. They want to help people. There's just this amazing growing community. It's you know, community spirit in the world. The people just, they're tired. They want to be useful. They want to be, you know, they want to be happier. And when we help people, we feel happier, you know, so that's wonderful. Yeah, they want to be kindful, compassionate.
Yeah.
And lovely. And I'm still very, blessed. Hello, Caroline.
Good to see you, Caroline, as well. So, in regards to your work now, what is it that you do today then? Like, I know you mentioned that question at the beginning. I mentioned that question at the beginning, but how would you describe your work today then in regards to mindfulness and healing?
Okay. I'm glad you woke up, but I'm so glad I had a little nap, Caroline. So to do with my work, okay, so my work is like really threefold at the moment. I'm having a lot of approaches for helping children who are incredibly stressed. Some of them are quite young as well, which is quite sad. But, you know, there is help out there. And corporates who just kind of understanding the value of looking after their employees. And for the bigger community and as well, and cancer patients as well. And I'm also doing, one-to-one sessions with cancer patients. And I've got some big plans for my blog, Divorce Goddess, as well. Just slip that one in there.
Excellent. So that's obviously your mindfulness work as well as, passing people on how they can have a happy divorce, you could say.
Yeah, or just kind of looking after themselves, really.
Okay.
Just how, just being a good person and kind.
So where can we find out more about your work? Where are your websites? Where can we find out more?
Okay. So, right, my blog is, do I need to type it in somewhere or can I just?
Don't worry about typing it in. What we'll do is, at the end of the show, I'll make sure that there's links to all of your profiles and all your websites so people can access you. But if you want to mention them, just for people that are listening.
So. All right, so my divorce one is divorcegoddess.com, and that's my blog and soon to be website and all sorts of stuff, exciting stuff's going to be happening on that. And my healing site is natashabritton.com, and my corporate site is corporate_calm, and that is where I have my corporate business.
So that's your corporate work in regards to mindfulness?
More information on mindfulness and Reiki in the workplace as well, so, and therapists and kind of balancing all that, putting people all up to date.
Yeah, that's okay. So to finish off the interview, I would say, what would be one takeaway message for people in life in regards to mindfulness, healing, or whatever it is you want to pass on to others?
Kindness and compassion and care and smiling. Smiling is important. And happiness. You know?
Definitely.
Oh, my God, the sun shone today. How fantastic was that? It was a gift.
Yeah, so gratitude, you know, gratitude, kindness and compassion.
Well, gratitude jar, put a big sticker with the word gratitude on it, and every day for a month or, you know, forever, having me, you know, something good happens, just write it on a piece of paper, pop it in the jar, and on those days when you're feeling blue and perhaps not tip-top or whatever, you can just kind of get your jar out and go, wow, look at all this amazing stuff that happened to me.
Yeah.
And just go, thank you. And another really good tip, if you want some tips, is like, you know, think of three things that happen to you every day. Make it sort of like a thing at the end of the day before you go to bed, say thank you for three amazing things that happened. And then say thank you to three amazing people, whether it was somebody that smiled at you as they handed you your change in a shop or, you know, I don't know. A little bird in the tree.
Definitely.
Happy, sun shining in the UK.
Definitely. Well, I just want to say thank you for being a guest on the show. It's been a real pleasure to have you. We haven't finished yet. We're going to invite guests to jump on and ask questions to you in a moment. Thank you all for joining so far. You can find out more about The Entrepreneur's Journey, the show, at www.theentrepreneursjourney.tv. There are a lot of other guests on there as well, and you can find out more about their journey, more about their story. And you can also learn how to write your own entrepreneurial story so that you can truly relate to yourself and your clients and make more of a difference in the world. Thank you all for tuning in. I will now open up the room to all the guests to ask questions, and I will do that now for you.
Okay.
So if Art wants to join in, if Caroline wants to jump in, feel free to jump in the open seat.
Caroline basically put a link on the corner.
Okay, we've got that.
I was going to hop on to my, Caroline, I was going to hop on to my laptop over there that I could get on Blab because it's facing the window and you can see the bright sunshine cascading through the window. I promise you
pictures behind you.
Oh, yeah, and I like yours. Yours is beautiful. Looks like Paul Klee or something like that.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's not. It's a lovely canvas that my stepmom used.
To me, it looks like a clay. Paul Klee. So I was listening intently because I like the people that Andy interviews, because generally the people he interviews believe what Andy believes, and I happen to believe what Andy believes, so it's all a bunch of people that are hearts. And you know, you said two things that I put in the stream that I thought were interesting, and you said trust yourself, and I mean, I couldn't endorse that more as a pillar of anyone's platform, right? Foundational to finding that happy space in your life, because if you don't trust yourself, you know, shame on you. You know, you're destined to wallow in.
But society kind of, it doesn't lend itself to encouraging us and supporting us to trust ourselves. You know, we're always kind of doubting our judgment. And I always mentioned this one particular kind of example that really struck me when I was kind of really coming into, you know, really kind of taking, paying attention to mindfulness. And I bought this washing machine, yeah? And you go and you spend a really big amount of money on a really nice machine, and you go there and you pay good money, and then they go, and there's a really good, it's a nice brand if you're lucky, and then they go, do you want to buy 3 years insurance? And you go, breakdown, and you go, no, you've just trashed my belief that this machine is going to work really well for me. And you just go, wow, the negative was immediately on it. You're like, you're asking me not to trust my machine that I just paid good money for.
It's true.
It's an interesting parallel. Yeah, that's a good analogy. I like that.
Thank you.
It's a great analogy. I might use that again. I'll have to give you credit when I use it again.
Please use it. But it just really struck me, you know? And it's like we're to doubt our judgment.
Well, and I guess if the metaphor is that we are like the washing machine and we are born with this ability to be whole and happy and fulfilled in life, we work our whole lives. Some people do the pack bricks on our back and unravel our happiness because we carry those bricks around. And if we simply stop and find that happy place or that mindful practice, whether it's writing or swimming or cycling or meditating or yoga, then you can make space for yourself to unpack some of that crap and say, you know, this really isn't serving me well. You know, I'm going to leave it behind.
Yeah, totally. And I get that. And I was writing a meditation today, and it kind of included that whole thing about your grocery bags. You kind of, in each hand, you've got a really, really heavy bag, and one's your past and your left hand and your future bag, and you're right, and you've been carrying them for a long time, and how you can actually, in the meditation, just sort of gently put them down, and you put the past down gently, and it just lower it to the ground, and then you can do the same with the future, and then you stand there, and then you're in the present moment. And I love that whole thing about the reason why it's called the present moment is because it's a gift.
That's powerful. I mean, lately I've been thinking about something that we all have heard, this this poem, I guess, that's the story of two wolves.
Yeah.
The story of the two wolves. An old Cherokee told his grandson, "My son, there is a battle between two wolves inside all of us."
Yeah.
The Entrepreneur's Journey. Create your empowering business story. Interviewing successful entrepreneurs from around the world to share their inspiring journey to success. Tune in live every week for your weekly dose of inspiration. Visit www.theentrepreneursjourney.tv for previous episodes.